is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I'll admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwear. Bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
Good afternoon, happy Tuesday to you, the 1st of December.
Wow.
Look at that, 2021. Dusty Hera, AJ McCord.
Hey,
what's up?
What a beautiful start to December.
Yeah, nothing says December like a bunch,
60 degrees
of, bunch
sun.
Of sun.
Except it's Wednesday.
What'd I say, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yep, it's Wednesday.
I didn't even hear that.
One of those days. It's Wednesday.
Perfect.
Yep.
It's going to go very well.
Yep.
I just didn't want that to spin out of control.
Yeah,
no, that would. That would happen.
I didn't want you to take a full half hour to examine what would the college football rankings be tonight.
No, we already
like,
know those.
Wait.
We already know those. Those came out.
Wait.
Yesterday. I've got a gripe.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
So yesterday I had one of, like, this is low-key the biggest compliment that I've gotten in quite some time.
Oh, so wait, this is a gripe?
No. Well, it turns into one.
Oh.
Okay. But it is one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten, that my wife called me as I was on my way home from work, and she goes, "You will never believe what happened just now." I said, you're right, I won't, because I have no idea where this could be going. And she goes, "We just had a man drive up and stop in front of our home. And he got out of his car and he walked up. I said, "Can I help you, sir?" He said, "I need to see how your Christmas lights are hung." And she goes, "He walked up and he was like 2 feet from our home examining how you secured the Christmas lights to the house because he was so impressed by them."
Wow.
He had gone driving around the neighborhood, and at night he was impressed with my lines on the home, and he came back during the daytime to examine how they were secured.
So, okay.
When I heard that, my heart filled with joy. And I said, yes.
And imagine if you'd let people enjoy your handiwork for longer.
No.
I'm just saying.
No.
Doesn't this prove my point, Will?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
here's,
must have been good.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets a little squirrely.
You deprived the neighborhood.
No, they're getting the lights they deserve, okay? After Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Here's where my gripe comes in.
I'm very excited about this part.
Immediately after my workmanship, my craftsmanship of hanging the lights, my wife has the idea, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add to it. She puts these dangling little, like, star lights over, like, there's, like, a cover to our patio that goes up to the front door.
Uh-huh.
And these things dangle down, and I'm not kidding you, they hit my head when I walk in. And I go, "What are you doing to my masterpiece?"
Oh, my
gosh.
My
masterpiece is being ruined by these dangly star lights. It's getting too fancy. We're getting too fancy. Phase 3 has gotten too fancy at my house.
You're the one who already implemented phases in putting up the lights. So if you haven't already started the phases and we're on 3, you have created a monster and now you must live with it.
I know. And I think that's what that's my gripe is, like, I can't sit there and be like, no, I can't rip Christmas light joy out of somebody.
No, especially because it's been so complimented.
But I did. I
you
said,
did?
What is my goal? What are we doing to my masterpiece here? I take my lights a little too seriously. I had no idea.
And the response was?
Was, what do you think, it's too much? And I said, yeah. I hit my head every time I walk out of our house.
No. See,
with the dangly lights.
If that had been at my house And the question was, do you think it's too much? And the answer was yes. It would have been, well, bummer. I like it.
Mm.
It is what it is.
Gosh. It's
your own fault, my friend.
Well, now I just need to find a better fix to these horrific star dangly lights that are hanging in front of my house.
I need to see a picture before we start calling things horrific, because I think star lights can be pretty. And I have seen the masterpiece that is your house, and I think star lights would be a nice addition.
Mm.
So I'm going to need to believe this.
Here's how low they are. I got that for you.
You have such a grumpy face.
Yeah, because I came home and I had got my head racked on a star.
I mean, that one.
All right. 503-250-1080. That is a fan text line.
Gosh.
All of you are already chiming in that the man who is looking at my Christmas light job is casing my house to rob us blind.
Mm.
Yeah, actually, that was my very first thought when you said it. And I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to disappoint you.
I didn't want to disappoint.
It's a little odd that like somebody just drives up and I'm not taking away from.
Well, my family was playing out front, so that'd be a weird time to case it like that.
And I would say again, so keep in mind where I like if I can't find something in the grocery store, I ask whoever happens to be the closest person who looks like they know what they're doing. I would do that. If I was driving by at night and I was like, "Dang, that is a very beautiful light display." And then I saw them playing out front the next day, and I had a question about, like, hey, I've been trying to hang my own lights, and I've been really struggling. How did you do it? Well, I wouldn't hesitate to ask.
That's fine. If my house gets robbed, we got the guy on our ring.
That's very true. Several times.
And my wife literally saw his face.
Right.
So, I mean, we may be dealing with the wet bandits here. So, I mean, these are going to be low-level, very low-level criminals here if he's showing his face in broad daylight. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what?
And going by multiple times.
Yeah, he could have done that.
Now, the question, though, that actually needs to be answered, I believe, is you need to share your secret with the world.
On my Christmas lights?
How do you hang
pull
your
them
Christmas
tight.
Lights?
You just pull them tight.
No.
And you
got to
have a... you have ringlets, and then it's really hard on the around the garage door. You have to pull them tight, and you have to pound some nails in.
But you hang something on the gutter, and then
little hooks, little plastic hooks. You get them at Fred Meyer.
There you go.
It's all good. It's all good.
Well, we staple ours.
Oh yeah, you go Clark W. Griswold style.
I walked out of the house. I was decorating the inside of the house. Husband was hanging the lights on the outside, and I heard a stapler. And I was like, huh.
There's something rewarding about using a staple gun, though.
You know what's not rewarding is that the light strands we tested before we hung up, and then the middle one decided not to work once
He probably stapled right through the wire.
That would probably be what happened.
Yep. Mm.
So actually, no, not the most effective way to hang lights.
You sound upset.
Nope. All just right.
Disappointed.
This is the fact.
I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed.
Not even mad. And you know what? I don't even care. It's not my work.
You are
the one who's having to do it three times. It was not my job this year.
Oh, all right. 503-250-1080 is a busy day, as all Wednesdays are here on the show. It is Wu-Tang Wednesday. So get ready for that.
Woohoo.
Oh, you usually play your liner.
Play what?
Your Wu-Tang. It is Wu-Tang Wednesday. We will be joined by Trista Crick, our BetMGM insider. She will be joining us at 1:30. Talk gambling, conference championship weekend. Mm. Things in the NFL really ramping up.
Yep.
What do you do to gamble on the Blazers when they're on the road? She's a Blazer fan. The Blazers suck on the road.
Yeah, they're very bad.
Can we get joy in the Blazers covering?
Well, they don't go on the road until next week, and they play the Warriors. So.
Yep, that's going to suck.
I don't know. Although Steph got held to like 11 points or something last night.
Sure. And what happened?
They lost.
Yeah, they lost.
Yeah.
To who?
The best team in the West.
Not so much he got held, but...
He just missed.
He missed a lot.
I was
bad
watching,
shooting
night. I was watching a much more riveting basketball game last night.
What? Where?
Warriors Suns. You know, one center court.
Oh, We're calling that a riveting basketball game. The Detroit Pistons with Cade Cunningham, who I think his rules this year as a rookie, shoot.
Yep.
Just all of them.
Yep.
All of the time. That team is bad.
Yeah, they're not.
And the Blazers beat them.
By a lot.
Without
three
Dame nor more Nasir.
Exactly.
Yikes. All right, so we'll have Tristan at 1:30. We will have Numbers Lie at 2:30. And coming up at this hour, we have got our Panic or Patience.
Oh, yes.
College football, 12:30. NFL at 12:45.
Perfect.
Get ready for it.
Busy Wednesday.
It is a busy Wednesday because we have recruiting shenanigans that are going on across college football, which are hilarious.
And I love when Twitter... like the Twitter account for compliance offices get involved. That's very fun.
This is, and it is involving the coaching carousel and how scummy it can get on the recruiting trail. So we'll have that to update folks with. And then the Seahawks are trying to bolster their back. I can't even say it with a straight face. Trying to bolster their backfield. We'll talk about that. And the Heisman Trophy. Who's the best player in college football? That's an open-ended question. Write me out. 503-250-1080. Who is the best player in all of college football? Because this year, this is one of those years where it's just like, who do you give it to?
I know. I feel like there's two or three that it would be like, yeah, works for me.
Can they just give it to Georgia's defense?
I'm pretty sure you have to pick a person, but we
I mean,
make
we don't have
motion.
To, right?
Yeah, we can make a motion.
Like, college football has broken their own rules plenty of times. You can just give it to Georgia's defense.
Very valid point.
I mean, when I watched them against Arkansas, that was enough for me.
Well, they usually, okay.
Was it the fact that they let them have 0 points to the offensive 49?
Here's the big difference is that, like, we've seen this in years past where they'll give the Heisman Trophy to, like, the best player on the best team if they don't have anybody, like Troy Smith, Ohio State.
Derrick Henry.
And they go, best team, best player. Well, Georgia, like, you're not going to give it to their quarterback because they have two guys that have started at quarterback this year. It is their defense.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt, it's their defense.
Kirby Smart wins the Heisman Trophy as a coach. First ever person to do it.
I think a really intriguing question with that is, my opinion, Bryce Young wins it. That they're just going to do that.
And that, that's not okay.
But will they do
like
it
that.
If Alabama loses in bad fashion to
they
Georgia? Because I believe that if they lose and Bryce Young sucks in the SEC title game, then it gets, like, very confusing.
Yeah.
Because you can't really give it to C.J. Stroud anymore because they lost to Michigan. I suppose you might be able to.
What about Aiden
Hutchinson? You could give it to a defensive player. But then why wouldn't you give it to Kayvon Thibodeau in that case? I don't know.
Oh, because Aiden's had a much... Kayvon hasn't played all game.
His numbers haven't been great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got this question, and it's up, and you'll get our thoughts on it throughout the course of this show. But where we start, the college football plankings. Remember when planking was a thing?
Oh, my gosh.
You strike me as a planker. Because you were a gymnast.
You're laying on your stomach.
No, but people were, like, doing extreme planking, and you were a gymnast, so I could see you, like, climbing on top of something and planking.
Never
given the plank.
That.
Never?
No. If I'm going to climb on something, I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to then just lay down.
Is that...
That's what got me.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah, it wasn't like climbing to extreme places. I'll do that.
Stand on this thing.
Yeah, but like to lay down is like, meh. Come on. I never did the crate challenge, although I did say I would do that, but no one told me where to get the crates.
But yeah, I told you behind a convenience store.
I looked. Didn't see any behind the convenience store that I passed on the way
home. I think we decided that was a bad idea because you'd break your neck.
No, I think you decided that would be a bad idea because I might get hurt.
Yep. Okay.
I did not decide it was a bad idea. I just got lazy.
Just yourself. Okay. And then we got to talk about the Pac-12 championship game and the ramifications that game has as well throughout the course of the day. But where we start, the college football playoff rankings have been refreshed. And, there's some funny business by the committee.
Yes.
Next on The Fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't erase none of that good. This is the beginning. Yeah. Spill drinks on you. Get stank on you.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Is that pinky ring-ish? The legend of mask it. Shoot out the speakers with my guns, get Jurassic.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. The College Football Playoff Committee refreshed their rankings yesterday. And really no surprises, especially at the top where you have Georgia is the number one team in the land.
Doesn't it just feel like, I just don't know that they're going to lose.
Oh, no. It's just, this is basically just like a tournament to get your butt kicked by Georgia.
Congratulations. You've come on down. The right to get your butt kicked on national television.
Mm-hmm.
Courtesy of the Bulldogs.
Georgia. Michigan is number two, which, by the way, now that we say that, Georgia will lose probably in a semifinal or the SEC championship game and just fall apart.
I don't think so.
Georgia is number one, Michigan two. Alabama, because it took four overtimes to beat a 500 team.
An unranked Auburn.
Yep. They drop, or they stay at third, don't move. But Cincinnati holds steady at four. Now, I think that may be a little bit of a surprise because of Cincinnati handling their business, being 12-0, the warts showing for Alabama. We knew that, though, and I wouldn't be surprised that win, lose, or draw in the SEC championship game for Alabama if this isn't the exact same rankings we see next Monday. For reals.
I know. But I think that that's very unfair, is what I think. I don't think that Alabama has proven every other year. I can understand the, like, not every other year. Most other years, Alabama has been so far and above the competition, and they've just lost or been in close games against ranked opponents. That's not been the case this year.
Yeah.
The reason they are ranked third is because they are named Alabama. If they were named Ohio State, if they were named, honestly, if they were named Georgia, they would be in a very different spot, in my opinion.
For sure.
And so I think if Alabama loses in the SEC championship game, they should be out.
Doesn't that, like, but shouldn't they get a little credit for being Alabama, though, and having Nick Saban? And
what's the point of year to year?
Who gets in?
Then I think you make it either if Oklahoma State beats Baylor, I think you bump Oklahoma State up there.
Yeah.
If Oklahoma State doesn't beat Baylor, then I guess you bump Notre Dame.
This is the funny business that the committee is saying, because Gary Barta, the chair of the College Football Playoff Committee, he said just yesterday that it plays a big role in Notre Dame's ranking is that Brian Kelly left.
Which is...
Oh, wait. I'm not turned on. Hotkeys.
What?
Oh.
Gary, Notre Dame at number six, their resume is complete, so there's no projecting about whether they might win or lose a game. Their season is over. Yet that resume changes without Brian Kelly now that he's moved on to LSU. It's in the selection committee protocol. You can evaluate that. How do you anticipate that being evaluated in the final ranking process?
You make a good point, Reese, that the committee obviously is aware of all the coaching changes while we were going through the rankings. This week, it didn't apply because the games had occurred, and we evaluated based on those games. Once the championship games wrap up, to your point, our protocol does include the ability for the committee to consider a player or a coach not being available. And should that have an effect on the outcome of a game, that can be considered. At this point, we'll have to wait and see how that factors in. But it is one of the criteria that's now added to strength of schedule, to head-on-head competition and winning championships, etc.
That's an interesting one. And that is also of note why Oregon was up at three because of the Stanford loss.
Right.
What he just said, they acknowledge that's something to take into consideration. When your head coach is gone, kind of a big deal.
Yes.
Kind of a big deal for Notre Dame. And I think that's unfortunate for the players at Notre Dame, because we were talking about this earlier in the week that, look, I'm now rooting for Notre Dame. Like, they don't play this week, and that's part of being an independent and not being in a conference, is you don't have that extra opportunity to impress somebody that Oklahoma State is going to get against Baylor, right? That Cincinnati is even going to get a top 25 a win under their belt against Houston.
Yep.
These are all things that are going to, you look at and you go, Notre Dame, this is one of the curses of being an independent, which they love so dearly, is that they're all, we can do it all by ourselves. Well, it's going to nip you in the butt this week, this year, because of the fact that you can't prove that Marcus Freeman is a good enough coach to lead them, that Brian Kelly wasn't the end all be all.
And I think that's a huge thing, is that if Notre Dame was going to get to play in another game this week, then you could say, no, look, Freeman's keeping this team together. Here he is. Everything's fine. Move forward. We are still Notre Dame, and Brian Kelly moves on, but he's not the end all be all for us. Mm-hmm. You don't get that chance. So you have to root for chaos in order to hope that you backdoor your way into the playoff this year.
And if Alabama loses a close one, I think that they get a shot.
I think they do too. I just don't know that I love that.
Yep.
Because then, you know what, because here's why.
However,
it's because
Stephen Amey.
If Cincinnati takes care of business against Houston, then you have a 13-0 Cincinnati team. Against you have a 13-0 Georgia, say 12-1 Michigan, 13-0 Cincinnati, and then an 11-2 Alabama. So you're just gonna set up another rematch between Alabama and Georgia
in the championship game,
in the semifinal.
Yeah, no, I think they'd stay at three.
See, but that's my issue. Is like you can't.
It's a big issue. Yeah,
you can't say that Cincinnati, who's taking care of business every step of the way, enough to where you put them in four, but then they go out and win, and Alabama loses, and not like the mental gymnastics to justify keeping it
and having a two loss team in,
and not just having a two loss team in, but having a two loss team in ahead of an undefeated.
Yep.
That's mental gymnastics. That's going to be exhausting.
And that is just, the committee doesn't want to give Cincinnati all that credit. What I think, what I hope happens is Oklahoma State blows the doors off of Baylor.
Okay.
Because if that happens, then Oklahoma State deserves that spot.
Yeah.
And they will prove to be the better team, because they would have then beat two top 10 teams in a row.
Right.
In Oklahoma, which has now fallen off. Mm-hmm. But at the time was a top 10 team, and then Baylor, which is sitting ninth. At ninth right now.
Yeah.
Like that would give them all the credit in the world. And we need more mullets in the college football playoff. I think that is something that we can all agree on, and Mike Gundy getting there would be fantastic.
Where's that petition? How many signatures do you have so far?
It's on change.org.
Perfect.
We can do that.
Perfect.
It's sitting there, but this is, I think the committee and the shenanigans that they played this week is it feels like they're penalizing Notre Dame for Brian Kelly leaving. Mm. And I think that if you're talking about Notre Dame and what they're going through right now, those players deserve that shot, right?
1,000%.
But this is what the committee does, is they say the four best teams, not the four most deserving. And it is true. I mean, not having your head coach is going to be a big friggin' difference.
Yes.
Down the stretch here for Notre Dame, regardless of what bowl they're in.
Yep. No, it will be. It'll be very challenging. I think there's, from the Notre Dame sort of circles that I've talked to, there's a lot of faith in Freeman that he can lead, but he's never been head coach, correct?
Nope.
So he's somebody who's unproven. So I don't know if he's going to get the Irish job down the, you know, in the future at all, but there's faith that he can lead them through the bowl season. And I don't know. I have a hard time saying that a two-loss Alabama team, A, deserves to be above an undefeated Cincinnati team, and B, then that what we do, if we do the right thing, which is put Alabama below an undefeated team with two losses, is that we just set ourselves up for a Georgia-Alabama rematch?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, here's the big question. If Oklahoma State thumps Baylor, and Alabama beats Georgia,
bye-bye Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's out.
Out.
Gone.
Which is unfortunate, because they did everything they possibly could. But I think they moved to five, and I think Georgia still probably ends up one. I think you go one, and Michigan, I'm assuming, wins in this scenario.
Yeah, beating Iowa.
Yeah. So I
God, that game's going to be so boring.
I think you end up just so switching. Boring. I think you just end up switching Cincinnati and Oklahoma State in that scenario.
Yeah.
I think Georgia stays at one, Michigan stays at two, Bama. I think you just switch Cincinnati and Oklahoma State.
And Luke Fickell takes the Notre Dame, if Luke Fickell takes a Notre Dame job, coaches them in the like the last rankings.
Oh my gosh.
Come out. It doesn't look good. It looks like they're going to be on the outside looking in. He takes the Notre Dame job. Boom, Notre Dame's in. Because Gary Barty, you got a new head coach. You got a good head coach in there.
That's a real quick switch. You got it. I mean, that's like some, you better be having those Lincoln Riley-esque conversations right now.
This text says, you guys talk about Notre Dame deserving the playoffs, but who did Notre Dame beat? Anyone in the top 25? Any single team? I look at Notre Dame and I just say what those guys have been through. That sucks, man. And I'm just rooting for them to be in there because they're a one-loss team. And right now, this chaotic year in college football, like it's a tough to navigate with just one loss. And I know that their schedule did not break for them the right way, and they lost at home to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They don't have impressive wins on their resume.
They beat a ranked Wisconsin
at the time, which is no longer ranked.
Right. Yeah. But at the time they were ranked. But other than that, that's their only.
Man, they have one loss.
Right.
That sucks. I just feel for the student athletes because you lose your coach and that's why you potentially lose a spot at the playoff. That sucks.
Because I think if the conversation is who is Notre Dame beat, then it's like, well, I mean, they're already where they are.
Their resume is not deserving.
Right. Like, no. But they're there every single, they're there every year.
I'm going to let my bias show. Their resume, not deserving. I have pulling at my heartstrings for those kids because that is a bummer.
Yes.
When your coach leaves, like I it is a gut punch.
Yeah.
When your coach leaves your team, like it truly sucks because that is the connection. That's a big reason why you go to a school,
especially when you're not done with the year.
Yeah. And when it's a really good coach and one of the winningest coaches in your program's history. Yep. Like I went through this when I was in college, like it was far lesser degree, small school, but it was like, we had a great coach. Things were in the right direction. Deuces. And it was like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And you just sit there as a room. You just kind of look around like, what do we do now?
Right.
Like, where do you go from here? Totally. I couldn't imagine if you're in the college football playoff, like in the running for it, and you have Brian Kelly as your head coach and he's just like, bye, gives you a 4-minute speech and is out the door. Like that sucks.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's brutal.
So that's why I feel for the Notre Dame players.
Yeah.
My bias is showing.
I feel for the players as well.
And I hate think Notre
that,
Dame.
But I think that based on where they are, that's how I see them sneaking their way into the playoffs. Now, would I, like if I were to rank Notre Dame, would I put them at 6? No. I don't know.
No. All right. 503-250-1080. Got a lot of feedback on this. Leave it to the committee. They just really know how to mix it up. By the way, Oregon is 10th.
Oh, yeah.
Like anybody cares anymore.
Utah is 17th.
Time to pill. Wow. Yes.
So?
Pac-12 championship game, 10 versus 17. Let's go. If the Ducks win, they'll definitely move up in the rankings. Let's frame it that way. All right, here we go. Panic or patience, college football edition. First is Will with SportsCenter.
Is it time to freak out?
Well, don't worry. I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, which is just flip out.
Or should everyone just relax?
Five letters here. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
This is Panic or Patience, part of AJ and Dusty on 1080. Ah! The Fan.
We do it every Wednesday at this time. First starting in college, then moving to the NFL. It is time for Panic or Patience. Mr. Darkins, sigh.
So, Joe Moorhead appears to be on his way out of town to take the Akron job. Panic! Or patience. The lack of stability at coordinator positions sets Oregon back this next season.
I can go first. I think patience on that. I think if Oregon gets set back this next season, it will be because what's going on at USC. I don't really think the lack of continuity at coordinator is going to be the reason, but it could be.
Boy, that would be three coordinators in four seasons for Oregon.
That's true.
Offensive coordinators. And that is when you start going, you need to make the right hire, and it's got to fit exactly what Joe Moorhead was doing. And you look at this hire is very important from a stylistic approach.
Totally.
And from a recruiting approach. This is what the hard part is about having a successful program. Mm-hmm. Think of, like, Mario Cristobal has got Marcus Arroyo, Andy Avalos. Yep. Then you would have both of those guys go and get head coaching jobs. Then you would have Joe Moorhead come in. He gets a head coaching job. Yep. Tim DeRuiter's your defensive coordinator. He's a former head coach. He could get a head coaching job when all the dust settles on all these moves, because he did have a fairly successful tenure at Fresno State, too. Like, this is the problem with having a good program.
Yeah.
Your assistants go and they get plucked, and that's the incredibly hard part about having a successful program. That's why I think there's like a little bit of panic, because if Oregon was ahead of schedule this year, that means next year was supposed to be the year, and you want as much continuity back on your staff as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So I think it would play a big factor.
And I think if the DC is involved too, then I think that plays even more
big time.
Yeah.
Big
then time. It's absolutely panic. Yeah.
All right, moving on. One of the three coaches we've seen hired this week gets fired within 3 years from their respective program.
So we're talking USC, Notre Dame. Well, we're talking USC, LSU, sorry, Florida.
And Billy Napier at Florida comes over from Louisiana. Brian Kelly down from South Bend, Indiana to LSU, and then Lincoln Riley at SC.
Yeah.
Oh.
We don't want to do music anymore.
No? You done? Will seems very upset.
That is... Oh, lovely. No, I don't have any control of everything.
I will go with... I'll go with patience on this one, because I think all three of those programs kind of understand that they cannot have another reactionary move. They can't afford... Like, LSU, you cannot go through coaches like it's a revolving door down there. Like, it cannot continue to happen. They gave Les Miles a little bit of leeway. Mm-hmm. You didn't have it with Ed O. I think you give Brian Kelly a little bit of room. Billy Napier at Florida, they have to give him time.
Yes. Yeah.
They have to give him time.
I agree.
And then Lincoln Riley at SC.
I think Lincoln Riley is going to have success at SC if they can avoid...
Oregon Ducks football is on the...
If they can avoid recruiting violations already. I think Billy Napier at Florida, you probably stick with. If there's a coach who gets fired in the next 3 years, I think it's Brian Kelly.
Really?
I think so. I don't think just culturally he's like...
I don't either.
I don't think culturally he makes sense at all in Baton Rouge. I saw like way too many jokes about him thinking that milk is spicy. And then like he's going to go down to Louisiana like where... That's like spices everywhere, and it's the best, like one of the best parts of that culture in Louisiana. And,
Cajun food, yeah.
And I think the interesting thing about LSU is the reason they have gone through so many coaches, and this is why also I think Brian Kelly's an interesting hire. Why have they gone through coaches? Les Miles started losing, fine. Ed Orgeron started losing. Uh-huh. And also, they're starting to finally feel the ramifications of being a horrible place for student athletes.
Yeah.
Like, period. And so Brian Kelly is not one of these coaches who has this sterling reputation when it comes to that. And so I think if there's a reaction here in LSU, I don't think it's going to be on the field. I think it's going to be an off the field reaction. And I just think that one doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I'm not saying it will happen, but if one of them will happen, I think it's Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm. All right. 503-250-1080. Will Darkens has rage quit this segment, and I don't blame him. We got the ghosts of Odyssey Portland taking over our system. We got the NFL version of Panic or Patience next. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Through the lights, cameras in action, glamour, glitters, and gold. I unfold the scroll, plant seeds to stampede the glow when I'm deceased. But in the beast, to rise like yeast, to conquer peace, leaving savages to roam in the streets, live on the run.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080, the Fan. Son, smoke a gold leaf, I hold heat
nonchalantly. I'm grungy, but things I do is real. Panic or Patience continues with the NFL version. Mr. Dawkins, what do you have for us on this round?
All right. Panic! Ah! Patience. Win, lose, or draw. Aaron Rodgers is playing his final season in Green Bay.
Panic.
Yeah, it's kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. I'm panic on that. I think this is it anyways, because now he's blaming coaches for leaking his toe stuff, even though he's the one who said it.
He was on the one on the show calling it COVID toe, and then he got all mad that reporters called it COVID toe, which is what he called it. And then he was like, no, look, it's fractured. First off, get your feet out my camera. Mm. That is not...
You don't have a foot fetish.
No.
You don't have a Rex Ryan
and
foot fetish.
Not like, no.
Okay.
No.
I mean, some people do.
All the way out on that. All the way out. No. And then you add in all the offseason drama. And then you add in that Aaron Rodgers was already threatening to retire and go host Jeopardy or whatever. I think this is it.
Yeah, I think he gone. And this is going to be the interesting thing for Green Bay, because Green Bay's roster is good this year. I mean, they're primed to make a run, and he may just double barrel his way out of there, because his sour grapes do not appear to be getting any less sour.
We are not turning sour grapes into wine.
No, we're not. What he is doing is he's just setting it up again, and I give him a ton of credit, though, and I give a ton of credit to the Packers team and Matt LaFleur, because he did say, hey, when I'm in, I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be here.
Yep.
And they have been lights out all season long.
Well, it is proof that you don't have to like your boss in order to get your job.
Fact.
So, and I think that's what this is. I think Aaron Rodgers has decided that this is a work environment he does not want to be in any longer. It doesn't mean he's not going to go out high on his horse and say, look at this, y'all are gonna miss me.
Yeah.
And then ride off into the sunset.
Yep.
All right. See, panic. Patience. The best record in the NFL belongs to the NFC leading Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals aren't even a top three team in the NFC right now.
Without the injuries or with the with the injuries. And,
well, you have to take the injuries into it.
Well, but I'm saying, like, do we think that they're not going to get better?
Well, J.J. Watt's not.
No, but Kyler Murray is. Hopkins.
Yeah.
I think they're top three in the NFC.
I look at it and I go, oh, man. Boy, how we forget how good a team is when they have a bye week, right?
Mm.
Because it just seems like nobody is talking about the Arizona Cardinals, because... Yeah. They did hit a little bit of skid where, you know, they lose 2 of 4 right before they hit their bye week. Kyler Murray was banged up. DeAndre Hopkins was banged up. Mm-hmm. They still went to Seattle, won that game.
Yep.
They're going to go on another little run here. And this is going to be the interesting part about this, where 3 is the interesting number there, because is Tampa going to pull out of their mini rut that they are in? And they've gotten back on the winning ways and they're now 8-3. And then Green Bay. Are you saying that both Tampa and Green Bay are better than the Arizona Cardinals? I think they are. I think they are because of the experience of winning and that both of those franchises have. And that is where I go, who do you trust? Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady or Kyler Murray in the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, yes, that's a very fair question.
And that's where I will go. I would then say panic, but I don't think it's not a big concern here, because they're taking care of their business right now. They're a damn good roster.
I also just think, like, I look at the Bucks schedule and I say, yeah, like, they've had some good wins, right? Like, you could call the Patriots a good win.
The Cowboys were a good win at the beginning of the season.
But then you look at the games that they've lost. I mean, other than that, it's like Bears, Eagles, Dolphins, Falcons,
yep.
Colts are fine, and Giants.
Yeah.
And you look at it in, on the opposite. You look at who the Cardinals have beat. Titans, Vikings, Rams, Niners, Browns, Niners again. Sorry, that was autopilot.
I got some wins.
But I'm not saying that I trust Kyler Murray in the playoffs more than I trust Tom Brady. I might trust the Cardinals more than I trust the Bucks.
I'm with you on that.
That's, yeah.
Because they're so talented. And they got weapons upon weapons. It's just, can they get healthy and stay healthy for the rest of the year?
Huge question.
Massive question.
Yep.
Especially with Kyler Murray. All right, that is panic or patience. The Oregon Ducks, they are heading into the Pac-12 championship game on Friday down in Las Vegas. But there is news regarding their offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead, committed yet uncommitted at the same time.
Heard this story before.
AJ and Dusty on the Fan.